when he's through, as I mentioned, we'll just have free time to circulate and look at the scenery and so forth.
If you'd like to sit, you may.
Thank you, Claude. Good morning, all. I think you can hear me as well when I'm sitting or standing. I'm going to sit down.
Thank you.
I hope you had a good trip. We didn't see most of you on the trip, although we could see the bus and see you were still there. But we had a wonderful time in the van, and a time of study, a time of fun, a time of interesting enjoyment. And I trust you also had a time of enjoyment. Can you hear all right? Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying, I hope you had as good a time on the bus as we had on the van. We had a lot of good fun, and I hope you had too. Wasn't that a beautiful drive down here? It was wonderful going through these woods. When we went through the woods, somebody in our van said that they had never hunted deer in woods, except they had hunted two-legged deer. And I agreed with that. I've never hunted either, but I hunted and I caught a two-legged deer. And of course that deer is felt a little different from the other deer in the woods. I hope you all have had that good pleasure. You know the story about the man who decided to go hunting. And his wife wanted to go with him. He didn't want his wife to go with him. But his wife insisted, so she did go with him. Well, she didn't know very much about hunting. But while they were away, she insisted that she should go away and hunt on her own. They weren't having very good success. And the husband tried to dissuade her all ways he could. But he couldn't do that. That often happens with a husband. And his wife got away on her own. Well, he went away looking for her after a spell. He wondered what had happened to her. And after a while of looking for her, he heard some noises. It was the noises of voices. And he could discern that there was a feminine voice. And he discerned as he got a little closer that feminine voice was his wife's voice. But he didn't know what she was saying. And the first thing that he heard was the other person, a male voice, speaking obviously to his wife and saying, "Well, you can have the deer if you like, but it's my saddle." We're going to continue our study in Romans chapter 8. If you have a Bible with us, you may want to read along. We're reading in Romans chapter 8. We're not going to read too many verses. Our study tonight, this morning, is to do with the second topic of this great chapter. The first one was the Spirit, the believer's power. This morning, we're going to think of sonship, the believer's position. And so, we're going to read in Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 14, and it says there, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, or sonship, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together." And the Lord will bless to us the reading of his word. Let's bow for a moment in prayer. Our Father, we thank thee for bringing us safely here. We thank thee for this beautiful day and for the lovely scenery. We thank thee for thy word that we have read. And we pray that as we ponder it together, that thou wilt guide us by thy Spirit, that we may learn more from thy truth. Grant us thy blessing, we pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. You will notice we say brother and sister around here. It's because we're a family, and these folks are so near. When one has a heartache, we all share a tear and rejoice in each victory in this family so dear. From the door of an orphanage to the house of a king, no longer an outcast, a new song we sing, from rags unto riches, from the weak to the strong. We're not worthy to be here, But praise God, we belong. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I'm joined heirs with Jesus, washed in his the fountain, cleansed by his blood. Joint ears with Jesus as we travel with God, for we are part of the family of God. What a wonderful privilege it is to be a part of the family. And here we have, here in this boat today, a small part of that big family in which we are all together. We are God's children, born into God's family. Once we were children of wrath, sons of disobedience, now we are children of God. And his own son. You know, salvation is a very, very wonderful thing. When you trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior and receive him into your heart as your Lord and Master, a great many wonderful things happen. You may have trusted the Lord Jesus to escape from hell, and you discover that you got heaven into the bargain. You may have trusted him to get heaven, to get pie in the sky when we die, by and by. But you discover that a good slice of the pie is here and now, and we can enjoy its blessings now. You may have trusted the Lord Jesus to get the joy of the Christian life, but you've discovered, I'm sure, as we all have when we trust him, that there's not only joy, but there's peace, and there's love, and there's hope, all these many blessings. You may have trusted him to enlist in the noblest service of all, far more noble than the service of Buckingham Palace or the White House. We are in the service of the King of Kings. But we're not only in the service of the King of Kings, we are sons of the King. We can say, I'm a child of the King. Praise God, I belong to the family. And what a wonderful privilege that is. The Apostle John says, now are we the children of God. And it doesn't yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Well, this passage in Romans chapter 8, and some verses further on, are about the fact that we are brought into the position of sonship. Let's think, first of all, of the position we're in. There are a couple of words that the apostle brings into this passage that's important for us to realize their truth. The first is the word son. We read in verse 14, they are the sons of God. In verse 15, you have received the spirit of adoption. That's how we were placed as sons in God's family. But there's another word the apostle uses. It's the word children. We are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. So we are both children and sons. And I believe the term children and the term son refer to the same individual. That is, to those who have been brought into God's family are those who have been saved by sovereign grace. And all of us who are saved by the grace of God can say, I'm a son of God. You can say, I'm a child of God. And it's important for us to know the difference. We are brought into the family as sons by what is called adoption. That word adoption simply means son, child, son placing. Placing a son. We are brought into the family of God as children by regeneration. And all of us have been adopted, and all of us have been regenerated. In the Roman practice in the first century, a person was adopted as an adult. A slave, perhaps, of a master wanted to be in the master's family, and the master wanted him. And the process was that the master and the slave appeared before the magistrate, and the magistrate had to ask a question three times. The question was, do you want to be my son? And the slave replied three times, I do. Then that slave became a son of that master with all the privileges and all the dignity and all the responsibility and all the affection of a son born into that family. And you and I have been brought into God's family by being placed as sons. Once we were slaves, but now we are sons. Once we were bond slaves to sin, but now we are the sons of God. Once we were servants to Satan, but now we are brought into the family of God, and we are his sons. And the title sons is a title that entails dignity and responsibility and maturity. Now, we're not just little babies in God's family. We're mature sons. That's what's included in this title. And God has brought us into his family by the process of son placing or adoption. And we are sons of God. But we're also children of God. That's what this passage tells us. We are children. And your children then heirs. Well, what's the difference between a child and a son? Well, we notice that a son implies position, implies maturity, it implies responsibility, it implies dignity. A child implies nature and relationship. We are brought into God's family, not only adopted into the family of sons, but as children, we have the nature, the divine nature within us. We are partakers of the divine nature. When a Roman slave was adopted into a Roman family, he could have all the privileges of that. He could have all the honor and all the dignity of being in that family, but he didn't inherit the master's nature. But you and I have been possessed of the divine nature as children of God. We not only have the dignity and the honor and the position of sons, but we have the nature of the divine family. And that nature is the nature of the Lord Jesus. What a privilege that is. So there is our position. We are sons and we are children. Now let's notice secondly in this passage the privileges that we have as sons and children of God, as being in God's family. What wonderful privileges we have. First of all, we are related to God the Father. The Father, God. We're related to him. We are children of God. We're sons of God. And because we have received the spirit of sonship, son placing, we can look up to God, the creator of the universe, and we can say, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. Now that's a very interesting statement. Abba, Father. You may remember that when the Lord Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, these are the words he used to his Father. He said, Abba, Father. And you and I have the privilege of looking up to God and saying, Abba, Father. Secondly, we learn from this statement the word Abba is the Aramaic. That's how the Hebrews spoke to God. That's how they addressed it. Father is Greek, but the family of God includes Jews as well as Gentiles. It includes people of all nationalities. Even Scots people are included with Canadians and Americans. And I'm not even a Scotsman. I was born in India. And you might say I'm an Indian, but Indians are included as well. And we can all look up to God and say, Abba, Father. Again, a third thing we learn from this Abba, Father, Abba is the word that a baby uses, a child uses, when it speaks of Dada, or Papa, my two grandchildren. One isn't even at the stage of saying that, and the other isn't very much beyond the stage, just reached the stage a little more of saying Dada, called me Papa, or something like that. And it's wonderful to hear the child saying Abba, Dada. But Father is the word spoken by the grown-up son. I don't call my father Dada. No, I called him Father when he was alive. And I suppose you did too. And so we have the word of the child and the word of the mature son. And together we can look to heaven and we can look up to our Father and we can say, Abba, Father. So the first privilege we have is being related to God the Father. The second privilege we have is to be associated with God the Son. We are associated with the Son of God. Notice what the verses go on to say. We are children, then heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. Joint heirs with Christ. He is the heir of the universe. He is the heir of all things. And you and I are associated with it. We are joint heirs with Christ. But more than that, it says it so be that we suffer with him. Now the hymn is in italics, it's not in the original, but it's implied. It's implied in the word suffer. The word suffer includes the preface with, together. So we are suffering together. And when we have to endure the sufferings of the Christian life, remember that we are with him. We are associated with the Lord Jesus. We, of course, have no part in his suffering for sin, but we have some part in his suffering as being persecuted by sinners. And when we suffer with him. We share together in his suffering. That's a great privilege, and we'll be thinking of that later on in our study. And then not only do we share in his suffering, But there's another way in which we are associated with Christ. We are told that we may be also glorified together. One day we're going to share in His glory. One day He's going to take us and present us to His Father, and He'll say, "Behold, I am the children whom God has given to me." And what a wonderful privilege it will be then, in that coming day, to have shared in His suffering, and now to share in His glory. Now you may say, it says, if so be that we suffer with Him, does that mean that we have to suffer a lot of persecution before we share in His glory? Does that mean that if we don't suffer as martyrs, that we'll not be glorified with Him? I don't think it means that. The word "if so be" is the same phrase that we read earlier in the chapter in verse 9, where it says, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. It could be translated since. And this is a characteristic of all Christians, to a greater or less extent, to suffer with the Lord Jesus. And since we suffer with Him, we share His glory in a coming day. And what a wonderful prospect that is. So we first of all are related to God the Father. We're secondly associated with God the Son. And thirdly, we are led by God the Spirit. And that's what it says here. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. And you say, well, sometimes I don't respond to the leading of the Spirit of God. But this is a characteristic of every believer. That's something that marks us out from unbelievers. We are led by the Spirit of God. And as we follow in that leading, as we submit to His leading, we demonstrate the characteristics of those who are sons. And the characteristics of those who are sons is the character, are the characteristics of the one who is the Son. Incidentally, the word translated son here, relating to you and me, those are sons of God, is exactly the same word that we saw yesterday when we spoke about God sending His own Son. It's the same word that's used. And later on in the chapter, well, we are told we're going to be conformed to the image of His Son. And so we, as a characteristic of sonship, are led by the Spirit of God. And day by day, we should submit to His leading. We should be guided in all our ways by the Spirit of God. The Lord Jesus said, He will guide you into all truth. Now, there's a lot of good scenery outside. And I'm not going to keep you any longer this morning. We'll continue with our study this evening on the subject of sonship, and then go on to the subject of suffering. But I trust that our meditation this morning on the position of sonship and on the privileges of sonship will make us realize what a wonderful thing it is to be saved, to be born in God's family, to be adopted and placed as sons of God and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus. May the Lord help us to appreciate these great truths, and may He grant us His blessing as we travel together in this lovely boat through this lovely scenery today. May the Lord bless you all.